Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Yeah, so Pleasant Valley, our vision is to saturate Owensboro and engage the nations with the glory and knowledge of the Lord. And that happens through families like the Wainwrights that are giving their lives to go to the nations and see a very post-Christian France saturated with the gospel and the hope that Jesus brings. And so thank you guys for being a part of their journey. Please grab one of those prayer cards at the mission wall on your way out and just hang out after the service, talk to the Wainwrights. They would love to share more about what God is doing in France. So let's pray for you guys, if that's okay. And we'll kind of pray for them in the work before we jump into the sermon. Father God, thank you so much for this dear family. God, I pray that you would just continue to richly bless them in their work, that they would work as those who are embodying flourishing through your Holy Spirit among the nations, that their neighborhood and their family and just all of France would see gospel renewal because of the work that you are doing through them. God, just bless their family, bless their kids, bless their marriage. Lord, just help them to just be healthy and joyful in the work and help us as a church family to be more than just a financial partner, but to be real family, praying for them, just laboring alongside them, going to maybe send interns that want to give a summer to go spend time with them and learn about getting on the mission field. God, we don't know exactly what you're going to do, but we know that you're going to do great things. And so God, I pray that you just continue to bless them in that work and bless this partnership. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you guys. All right, well, if we haven't met yet, my name is Andy, and I'm the pastor of Adult Discipleship and Missions here at Pleasant Valley. So this morning, we are continuing our verse-by-verse study through the book of Ephesians. So over the last several months, we've been looking at the first couple of chapters of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. And Paul, up to this point, he has been lifting our eyes to see the incredible riches of God's grace toward us in Christ. He's reminded us that before we ever did a thing, God chose us, God redeemed us, God forgave us, and he sealed us with his Holy Spirit so that we would live our lives for his glory. He prays that we wouldn't just know these truths in our head, but that we'd really grasp the hope of the gospel in our hearts and the glories of our inheritance and the resurrection power that we've been given to live in because Jesus reigns over all things for his church. So think about that. Before you ever lifted a finger, God already knew you. He chose you and he loved you. We were dead in our sins and following the ways of this world and doing whatever the heck we wanted to. And in that, God, rich in mercy, he entered in and made us alive in Christ. We've been saved by grace alone, not by anything that we have done. And we've been saved to good works that he's prepared for us in advance. That's the story of every single person in this room who knows Jesus. We were dead and now we're alive. So up to this point in Ephesians, Paul has been painting this beautiful picture of what God has done for us in salvation. And today it builds toward his first command for us here in verse 11. We've been in Ephesians all year and we're just now getting to the first command. So if you would open your Bibles this morning with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. If you would just join me in standing out of respect for the reading of God's word, we're gonna look at what God has for us today in Ephesians 2, 11. So then remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands. And at that time you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law, consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, We both have access in one spirit to the Father. This is the word of the Lord. You can be seated. So my wife, Taryn, and I, we just celebrated our 9th anniversary a few weeks ago. Yeah, you'll see a picture of us there on the screen. Yeah, you can clap for that. It's a good looking pair up there. I was actually out of town on a mission trip, so we weren't together for the first time in our 9 years of marriage. So I'm a little bit in the doghouse, but I was on a mission trip, so like, she'll get over it. When we have anniversaries, you tend to think about the day, right? You think about all the stress that went into the wedding, all the wedding planning. You think about all the people that were there, the groomsmen being knuckleheads back in the changing room or whatever, all the things that go into the big day of the wedding. You think about all of that. But what I also tend to do is remember who I was back then as well. Because when you think about who you were before you were married, for those of us who are married, we tend to be very different people. If you know Taryn at all, you know that she and I are also very different people. I'm a little bit more laid back. I'm more go with the flow. She's very in the details and always wants like a very clear plan on like what's coming next at all times. She's very good about helping make sure that we stay on top of things as far as big projects around the house or making sure the doors are locked at night, which is a significant issue early in our marriage. I didn't see that as important. And I'm like, what's the big deal? She's like, people will break in. So that was, we had to work on that early in marriage. Helping schedule dentist appointments. Just all the things that 10 years ago, I wasn't very good at staying on top of. One of the first times that she helped me with this in our relationship, we were dating and she noticed that my dog was scratching a whole lot. So no big deal, I probably wouldn't have even noticed on my own, but she was like, hey, you need to take the dog and get it treated for fleas. Well, I wasn't too concerned about it. I mean, I'd had that dog for a couple of years, I didn't have money for flea treatments, like it never had fleas before, what's the big deal? It's probably just itchy. So fast forward a few weeks and I'm in the middle of a full-blown flea infestation at my house. I mean, the house is completely overrun. It's like bed bugs that jump. It's a nightmare. They are everywhere. I'm like literally chucking bug bombs up the stairs like hand grenades to try to like keep them at bay. We're sprinkling powder all over everything. I'm sleeping on the couch because the bedroom is like out of control just to get away from them. And I'm absolutely miserable because I didn't take things very seriously. Now, thankfully, over the last decade, Taryn has helped me grow a lot in learning how to become a responsible human being. When I remember how I used to be before Taryn, it actually makes me really grateful for what I have now. It makes me grateful for the gift of my wife and for the way that she loves me and for the family that we've built and for all the ways that she's helped me grow in areas that I didn't even know that I needed to. Sometimes remembering who you were before helps you to treasure what you have now. And that's exactly what Paul is doing in this passage. His first command in the whole book of Ephesians is to remember. Not work harder, try more, do more good things, but first, remember. So this morning, I want us to treasure Christ together by spending some time remembering. So first, let's remember who we were. Verse 11. So then remember that at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands. So in the Bible, over and over again, you see these two different groups of people. You see the Jews and the Gentiles. So the Jews were God's covenant people. They were his chosen race through whom he had been working throughout all of the Old Testament to declare his glory to the world. So you've got God's people, the Jews, and on the other hand, you've got everybody else, the Gentiles. One of the distinguishing marks of God's people was the ritual of circumcision. So it was an outer marking for Jewish baby boys that was given as a sign of the covenant with Abraham that symbolized basically being set apart from the world and belonging to God's people. So Paul in Ephesians, he's writing to Gentile Christians. He's writing to uncircumcised followers of Jesus who were not ethnically Jews. And so they lived outside of God's covenant before Jesus saved them. They were people just like you and me. And he's calling them here in Ephesians to remember who they were. Verse 12, at that time, you were without Christ, excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. They were without Christ. They were excluded. They were foreigners. They were without hope and without God, just like you and me. Do you remember what your life was like before Jesus? I think sometimes we try not to think about it. Like it's maybe uncomfortable, or maybe it was so long ago, it's hard for us to even remember. But just take a second and remember what your life was like before Jesus. All the failures, all the mistakes, maybe that failed marriage, or all the drinking, or the anxiety. We were people without hope and without God. What Paul's describing in Ephesians actually sounds a lot like our world today, doesn't it? If you look at current statistics, I was reading one this week, just since COVID, one study shows that worldwide rates of anxiety and depression have surged by over 25%. Another recent study showed that 61% of US teenagers reported persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. And over 19% of US teenagers had seriously considered self-harm at some point. It's estimated that depression and anxiety now cause around 12 billion lost workdays globally each year, which equals about $1 trillion in economic losses. So why does that matter? Because we live in a world that feels the same sense of hopelessness that Paul's talking about in Ephesians. And when you hear those statistics, you're probably not that surprised to hear that. And the reality is, for some of you, those statistics aren't just abstract numbers. They're your daily reality. Some of you guys come to church every week and you smile and somebody asks how you're doing in the hallway and you say, oh, better than I deserve, brother, I'm blessed. But when you're laying in bed at night and you think about it, you just start getting so wrecked with anxiety or depression and you're wondering if there's even any point. For some of us, Jesus feels so far away and you've looked for hope in all sorts of other things, money, relationships, vacations, another bottle of wine, and none of it satisfied. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a 20th century pastor in London, he once said that apart from Christ, the deeper a man thinks, the more pessimistic he becomes. Like sure, non-Christians can distract themselves from reality with boats and TV and drugs and all kinds of other things, but when people really slow down to think deeply about the world, I think especially as they get older, that sense of despair and depression creeps in because apart from Christ, they really don't have any hope in this world or the next. Hear this. If you feel far off, you're not alone. Every single person in this room, whether Christian or non-Christian, at some point we have all been there. Paul says to all of us, you were far off without hope and without God. Guys, the world that we live in is full of people who feel far off. So disconnected, so empty. And Paul here is calling us to remember that used to be you. Do you remember what that was like? But look at verse 13. This is our hope. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus didn't say, try harder and maybe you'll get closer. He came and brought you near. And praise the Lord for that. God didn't leave us in our hopeless state. The hope of the gospel is that when we were all foreigners, when we were all in our hopeless, sinful state, Christ died for us. Isn't that good news? If you're walking through darkness right now, the blood of Jesus is your only hope. You are not too far. Nobody is too broken. Jesus has already done the work to bring you near. All you must do is believe. So, remember who you were. But church, let's not stop there. Let's treasure Jesus by remembering what Christ has done. The Bible teaches that we were all dead in our sin. We were enemies of God. We were chasing after the things of this world and seeking purpose in our careers and relationships or chasing a high that never quite satisfied. And in that moment, Jesus saved us. He died on a cross and his blood satisfied the wrath of God for our sin. Guys, remember what Christ has done. God took on flesh, being born as a man in Jesus Christ, which we celebrate at Christmas, and he lived the perfect life that we could never live. He faced every single temptation that we could face, and yet he chose faithfulness where we choose faithlessness. The only good man to ever live gave himself as a ransom for many, being tortured and killed on a Roman cross and drinking the cup of God's wrath against our sin. Sit with that for a second. He drank the cup of God's wrath so that we would never have to. Jesus poured out his blood for us, and Ephesians teaches us that that blood brought us, who were so far away from God, near to him to experience his peace and his goodness and his hope and his life in this life and in the next to come. Everlasting life, eternal peace with God, a light burden and an easy yoke. In a world that is so far from God, so far from hope, so far from peace. Guys, the blood of Jesus has brought us so near to him. Guys, he's near. He is with us in our heartaches. He's with you in your mess. You don't always have it easy, but we do have the promise that we will never be alone because Christ has done so much in bringing us near to him through his blood. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by which he put the hostility to death. So guys, the blood of Jesus, it didn't just bring us near to God, but it also reconciled us with one another. The first century when Paul was writing this letter, it was a time that was filled with division. The Jews and the Gentiles were segregated. In the temple, they literally had a wall that would separate them based on racial lines. Like it had signs on it basically warning the Gentiles to stay on their side of the wall or they would be killed. And these divisions were a really big deal. In Acts 21, Paul is falsely accused of bringing a Gentile into the temple and they almost kill Paul for that. Like there was tension, there was division, there was hostility. And this division, let's call it what it is, this racism of sorts, spilled over into the early church. There was a huge controversy in the early church between ethnically Jewish Christians and then all the Gentile Christians. Many of the Jewish Christians, they were forcing Gentiles to be circumcised and to follow Jewish customs and to be more Jewish in order to be saved. This is the cultural context that Paul is writing this letter in. In Acts 10, we see Peter, he hesitates to go to Cornelius, who is a Gentile, so God literally has to send him a vision from God to get him to go visit this Gentile. Galatians 2, Paul has to confront Peter and call him out for refusing to eat with Gentiles when Jewish believers were around and might see him doing it and think some kind of way about it. Does that sound like the church today at all? Are there certain people of different skin colors or people with certain sexual orientations or people with different political views that maybe we might be tempted to look down on or be hesitant to be seen with? People who are different than us that maybe we wouldn't say it out loud, but we would just rather kind of stay away from. Like y'all, you're cool to do your thing over there and we're just gonna kind of stay over here and you know, we'll coexist, but we don't really wanna get all up in each other's mess like that because like what might people think? People say like, why do you gotta talk about like controversial things like division or racism or whatever in the church? Like, why can't you just preach the gospel? Well, at Pleasant Valley, we preach the Bible. And in Ephesians 2, we see pretty clearly the gospel doesn't just reconcile us to God. It actually reconciles us to one another as well. We're so quick to put up walls and separate ourselves from others. And yet Ephesians 2 is clear. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. He made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, which we'll get to next week, so that he might create in himself one new man from the two, resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross by which he put the hostility to death. So the blood of Jesus doesn't just save us, it actually changes us through his Holy Spirit. God is tearing down the walls that divide us and creating a new man from the two. God is making a new man, a new church, one that beautifully reflects his diverse creation. John Chrysostom, one of the Eastern church fathers, he said it well. He said, it's as though one took a statue of silver and a statue of lead and put them into a forge and they came out a statue of gold. God is taking these different groups and putting them together in a forge. And we're seeing this new man created, this one body that's his church, a unified, diverse church reflects the glory of God because it shows just how precious the blood of Jesus truly was. I mean, think about it. Looking around this church, like look around this room right now, where else do you see a group of people like this? You got black people, white people, rich, poor, boomers, Gen Z, people with disabilities, Democrats, Republicans, vaccinated, unvaccinated. If not for Jesus, we couldn't get some of y'all to have lunch together, much less share life together. I love our church because looking around this room, I see business owners sitting next to homeless people. I see doctors sitting next to former drug dealers. And you know why I love that so much? Because it screams to the world that the one thing that brings us together, the blood of Jesus, is so much stronger than all the things that would tear us apart. Yeah, you can clap for that. The blood of Christ tore down the dividing wall of hostility and it's created in us a new man, one body, one family living our lives to worship Jesus. What a beautiful gospel that truly is. I was in the Dominican Republic last month on a mission trip with 17 people from our church. Man, it was such a great trip. We had such a good group of people go, and we only lost one person, so it was a huge success. Isaiah feels called out right now. No, we had a great time on the trip, but what was so beautiful is we were able to see firsthand God's work among the nations and how he's saving people from all corners of the globe. I remember one morning we were in the home of a man named Turco, and we were sharing the gospel with him. So at first glance, the life of Turco and his family, it couldn't have been more different than mine. They lived in a little green blockhouse up in the mountains, and they didn't have a lot. As we were telling Turco about Jesus and really explaining salvation to him, he said that he understood the gospel, but he didn't want to become a Christian because he was a really good chicken fighter. I'm like, okay, haven't heard that one before. He pointed to this big plaque hanging up on the wall, and it was this big, you know, mirrored plaque that was honoring him for being a champion at chicken fighting. And when he said that, I was like, what? That is really weird. Like, what's with the chicken fighting? And so he explained he would go to the chicken fighting arena, you know, several times a week, and he would drink and he would gamble most of his family's money, and they would fight these chickens to the death. And he knew that that was sinful, but he wasn't willing to give it up to follow Jesus. And so Turco's wife, she's a Christian. So she comes out and she kind of joined our circle. And then he had a friend in town on business. And so he comes out with his wife. They're both Christians as well. And so we all kind of circle up. And so all these Christians, they begin pleading alongside us for Turco to believe the gospel. They wanted him to follow Jesus. They wanted so badly for him to be with us in heaven. But Turco wasn't willing to give up the chicken fighting and follow Jesus. It was this really weird scene, but in the moment, I felt like the Holy Spirit was kind of speaking to me and showing me in a new way this truth from Ephesians 2. Because culturally, Turco seemed so different than Americans, but really he wasn't. Because that chicken fighting plaque on the wall that he kept pointing to, what did that really represent? Represented money, success, entertainment, social standing, being thought of as a champion by others. I mean, it looks different in a different culture, but really it's the exact same idols that lost people in our church or our culture are chasing. As we stood around that room pleading with Turco, I realized his Christian family and friends in that room, they had more in common with us than with him because he wasn't a part of God's family. We were all in this circle, and though culturally we were so different, the divide in that room wasn't between Dominicans and Americans. It was between the Christians who were pleading the blood of Jesus and Turco sitting on his motorcycle in the middle of his living room, refusing to follow Christ. It really showed me that the dividing walls have shifted and they're not around cultural or ethnic lines anymore. Now the only true dividing wall is between saved and unsaved. Though culturally we were so different, there was something beautiful about evangelizing alongside our Dominican brothers and sisters in Christ. Worshiping with them in the Dominican church and getting a little glimpse of heaven as we sang hymns together in different languages. Because the blood of Jesus has torn down those dividing walls. And so we've gone from foreigners to family. It doesn't matter if you're Dominican or French or unemployed or wealthy or poor or a white middle-class American. Guys, the only question is this. Has the blood of Jesus reconciled you to God and to his people? Has that blood torn down the wall that separates us from God and from one another and brought you near? Are you a part of this new man that Jesus has created in his blood? So remember who you were. Remember what Jesus did, but don't stop there. Guys, let's remember who we are now. Verse 17, he came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So I really enjoy learning about history. If you see me driving around town with my cracked windshield, there's a good chance that I've probably got some kind of historical biography playing on my Hoopla app because I'm super cool like that. I just think it's fascinating to learn about just the stories of the people who have come before us. And so some of my favorite historical pictures are actually photographs of presidents with their kids just running amok through the White House. Like, I just think that's hilarious. Like, it's so absurd to look at pictures like that. I mean, you have arguably the most important building in the world where wars are waged and policies are decided and so much power is concentrated in one place globally. And then you've got these goofy little kids just like running around playing under the desks and stuff. Like, you'll see these pictures. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln's son, Tad, he was notorious for, during the Civil War, busting into cabinet meetings with cabinet members and generals where they're discussing war plans. He just bust up in there and start playing, and nobody could keep him out. Similarly, JFK's son, John, he was known to crawl up underneath the Resolute desk and play all day, maybe looking for the national treasure or something, while Kennedy's trying to, like, solve the Cuban Missile Crisis. So, like, you've got these kids just, like, going crazy in there, and it's like, how in the world is that acceptable? Like, if you or I tried to run up into the Oval Office tomorrow, like, honestly, we're probably going to get shot. Generals, cabinet members, they have to make an appointment. They have to clear security. They have to go through staffers. Generals have got to knock on the door. But these kids, they have full access to the president. Why? Well, because they're their kids. They don't have to prove themselves. They belong there with their father. Guys, that's the kind of access we have to our Father. We don't have to make an appointment. We don't have to knock on the door. We don't have to prove ourselves or clear security. Now, through the blood of Jesus, we have been brought near, Ephesians 2 says, and we have complete access to the Father in the Holy Spirit. We've got the spirit of adoption that's crying out, Abba, Father. So guys, remember who you are now. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You're near. You don't have to wonder if you belong. You're in Christ. And so no matter how far away you were, no matter what you were into before Christ, you have now been brought near. You don't have to earn your place. You are accepted. That dividing wall has been torn down and you are brought near to him. Guys, you have peace with God. Though we were far away, Jesus came and gave this good news of peace to us. You don't have to live in fear that God's gonna reject you. You are perfectly accepted, not based on your merits, but on the merits of the blood of Jesus. We don't have to live in fear of God, and we don't have to live with anxiety and bitterness toward others. Jesus was the Prince of Peace, and he is working today, and he has torn down every single wall of division. So let me ask, what would it look like for you to live in that peace today? Maybe you've messed up again, and you're just carrying so much shame. Maybe you feel like a failure as a husband or a wife or a parent or a friend. Maybe you're afraid that you've finally gone too far and God is finally gonna have enough and just say, hey, to hell with you. Guys, hear this. Jesus already endured hell for you. His blood has made peace with God and he has brought you near. And so no matter how far you run, no matter how much you fail, Romans 8 is clear. Nothing can separate you from his love. Like the story of the prodigal son, he is a good father who will never stop loving you and is just waiting to run out and embrace you and carry you home. So believer, rest in the peace of his love today. Verse 18, for through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So you're no longer foreigners, you're family. You don't have to come before him in fear. You come to him as his child. We just sang that song a few minutes ago. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Guys, some of us need to wake up tomorrow singing that song to ourselves and remember who we are now. We're his child and we have access to the Father through the blood of Jesus. So y'all can stop pretending like you got everything together. God loves you and all your mess. And this church is a safe place for you and your problems because we don't have to prove ourselves. We just have to go to Jesus together. Sometimes we act like we're the president's staff outside the door and we're pacing around thinking, if I can just do enough, if I can just get it together, if I can just be better and get a high enough position, then maybe I can come in. But your Father is saying, no, you're my kid. You belong here. This door is always open. No matter what's going on in your life, you are so loved and you are so free to just crawl up under that desk and sit with your Father. Now guys, when we really get this, like not just like we get it up here, but like when we really get this in our hearts, it changes everything. It really does. It changes our prayer life because whenever life happens, whenever we get anxious, whenever we start to worry about all the stress and the difficult things we're going through, we can go straight to our Father who is so near to you and loves you more deeply than you dare dream. If we really believed this, I think our prayer lives would look so different. I think we'd stop praying safe, small prayers. I think we would go to war in prayer for our kids and for the nations and for our city and for that lost coworker that feels so far off. Because we have full access to the greatest power in the universe, and our God loves showing up for his kids. When we get this, it changes how we love others. Because when we live in awe of the God who he is and who he has declared us to be now, guys, there is zero room for us to look down on or judge anybody else, because everything that we have is a work of grace through the Holy Spirit. So if you're here this morning and you feel like an outsider, or you feel alone, or you feel like you don't quite fit in, welcome to Pleasant Valley. We are all a bunch of misfits. One preacher said, there's all kinds of different nuts in God's fruitcake. And that is definitely true here. Man, looking around this room, that is so true. We don't have it together. We all come from different places. We all have different kinds of problems, but we have all been brought near and made into this new man, one body by the blood of Jesus, so we can love one another fully as family. So when we remember who we are, it really does change everything. So what's it look like to live our lives in light of Ephesians 2? Well, next week, we're gonna get a little bit more technical, and we're gonna see how theologically Paul ties all of this together and how Jesus builds us into that new people, how he builds us into the church, the holy temple where the Spirit lives. But while we're waiting to get there next week, let's look for a second about how Jesus modeled it for us in the Gospels. The story of the woman at the well in John 4, Jesus encounters this Samaritan woman, and she was, by any standards, she was a racial and religious outsider to the Jews. And she was living in deep shame, not just because she was different, but because she was also sexually immoral. And she was not the kind of person a good religious person should be seen hanging out with. I mean, think what people would say. Well, Jesus goes to her. He crosses that wall of hostility. He goes where the good Jews shouldn't go, and he associates with this immoral woman, and he breaks down that wall of hostility. He brings her near to him, and he offers her living water as a picture of the new life that he brings. He loved her, and he brought the hope of the gospel to her, and she left that place changed, and she shared with others what Jesus did. And guys, that's what we're called to do. This is what it looks like. We're called to go into the highways and the hedges and bring people into the household of God. That's why we want our community groups to be places of welcoming and inclusion, and our groups to be on mission together to bring the hope of Jesus to our neighbors. That's why we send and support missionaries like the Wainwrights to go to the other side of the world and proclaim the good news of peace to people who are so far off, so that they might be brought near and follow Jesus. We pray, we give, we go, and we live our lives in the Spirit, ultimately because we remember. We remember who we were. We remember what Jesus has done, and we remember who we are now. So as the band comes forward, in light of the glories of the gospel that we've seen so far in Ephesians, in light of the wonder of our salvation and the work of Jesus to save a people for himself, guys, remember. Remember who you were. Lost, hopeless, an enemy of God. Maybe you were dealing with addiction, a rebellious child. Whoever you used to be, remember that person apart from Christ. And remember what that felt like. And then remember what Jesus has done, choosing you, saving you, pouring out his blood to reconcile you to God and tearing down the walls of division to make for himself a new people united in Christ. And remember who you are now. You are a child of the King. You are loved, accepted. You are near to him. You have peace through the blood of Jesus. You have access to the Father in the Spirit. Remember who you are. If you're here today and you feel far off, maybe you're discouraged because you messed up again, or you just feel really distant from the Lord. Guys, hear this. If you're in Christ, you are not far off. He is near. He tore down that wall of division once and for all. And he doesn't just put up with you. He welcomes you fully. And you don't have to stand outside the door. You have access to the Father, and his door is always open. For some of us, maybe we're living like there are still walls in our own hearts, walls of pride, walls of bitterness, walls of prejudice, walls of fear. God is saying to you here in Ephesians, remember who you are. Don't try to rebuild the walls that Jesus tore down. Guys, we are a new people. We are reconciled to God and reconciled to one another. So let's live like it here in this place, in this family we call the church. And that's why we come together to the Lord's table. Not to try to earn something, not to try to make God happy with us, but to remember. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And so we're gonna take the Lord's Supper this morning. Volunteers, you guys can go ahead and move to your places at this time. When we take the Lord's Supper this morning, it's a signpost that says, you were far, but now you're near. You were foreigners, but now you're family. When we come to the table and we take the bread and the cup, we're remembering Jesus's body broken. We're remembering his blood spilled for us to tear down those walls that separate God and man and us from one another. So before we come to the table, I want us to all take a second and just search our hearts. Is there sin that you need to confess today? Man, confess that to the Lord. Do you feel distant from God? Remember, he's torn down the wall. You are welcome and you have access to him because of the blood of Jesus. Is there bitterness in your heart toward another believer or another group of people? And confess that sin to the Lord and live into the freedom of this new man that he is making us into. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus, this meal is not for you. You're still on the outside. You're still separated by that wall of division, but today could be the day of salvation for you. So if you don't know Jesus, we'd like to ask you not to receive the Lord's Supper today, but instead to receive Christ, this free gift of grace. Confess your sins to him and live your life giving it to following Jesus. If you want to talk more about how to do that, there's going to be a ministry team up here at the front and out at the glass doors on the lobby as you leave today. Also, just come talk to me. I would love to talk to you. Any of us would love to talk more and just share with you about what it means to follow Jesus and be brought near to God. So you're gonna see some tables around the auditorium. There's two up here at the front. There's a couple in the back, one right in the middle in front of the sound booth. You can come and take it at any of those places. There are baskets where you dip the bread in the juice. We also have pre-packaged gluten-free elements for those who have an allergy or maybe just want to avoid the germs. So in a second, we're going to come, if you're a baptized believer, and take the supper together. But before we do that, church, let's take a minute and just pray. Let's sit in this moment and remember who we were. Let's treasure what Christ has done. And let's rejoice in who we are now as we come to the table together as a family. So just take a minute, let's sit with the Lord. And whenever you're ready, come to the table, not out of ritual, but out of remembrance. And as you take the Lord's Supper, let that remembering turn to rejoicing because we who were far off have been brought near.
Thanks for checking out Sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.